This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
So hello, and thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today's show is a very, very special one. They all are, but this one really is because, again, like always, all of you that listen to my show know that this is always prompted by something Carol needs to learn. Plus, I've got a very, very special guest that's going to be joining me. So today's show is on gluten and whether being gluten-free is really hype or is it really real? Meaning, is it really important for us to be very mindful of that gluten consumption that we have and then going in and looking at how that does impact our body? There's so many different things that it does. And so I've got a very special guest that's joining me today, and she's really very knowledgeable in this area of health and nutrition and gluten and done some amazing work. I know this because I have sent clients to her and I get the feedback. And so my guest today is Samantha Grant. She's a certified nutritionist and a weight loss a metabolism expert. I've had her on the show before. I got great feedback from all of the listeners, so I'm really excited about having Samantha on the show. And one of the reasons also, not only for myself, is that I've noticed in my work that I've been doing with people, I'm having so much more chronic pain showing up. And interesting enough, it always seems to come back to that inflammation, the immune system, diet, and so forth. And I keep getting these kind of intuitive hits that, you know, we really need to look at gluten. So it just seemed like everything came together. And I reached out to Samantha, and she was just kind enough to join us today and share her wealth of information. Also, she's very, very open to taking calls. So if you have a question for Samantha and myself, and either or both, you can actually call us at 877-230-3062. That number is good for callers in the U.S. and, of course, international callers, and a very, very timely topic with where we are and kind of looking at a lot of the new information that's coming out on obesity and immune system, autoimmune system. So couldn't be perfect timing. Isn't that the way that the universe works? I also wanted to let you know that I'm very excited to announce that today is actually the launch of our new Soulful Connections bracelet. This beautiful bracelet is a half and half bracelet. One half of the bracelet is beads and glass pearls, and the other half has 13 charms that are really, when the wearing of this bracelet, the intent of it is to really deepen your connection with your soul. And part of the reason for that is 2013 is the year of the soul, and in celebration of that, these bracelets will actually, when you wear them, it will remind you of how you are connected at a deeper level, and it will also help remind you of all of the inner wisdom that you have within and the answers that you're seeking. The bracelet itself, it was actually downloaded from my guide, said, you know, Carol, we need to pull those beads out that you've been collecting for 4 years, and we need to do something with them, and I want you to create a bracelet just like the one that was worn in the 12-Gate Mystery School around the program of self-mastery. And when I went back and did some past life regression work with it, lo and behold, the design came forward and these 13 charms. Each one of these charms has a very significant meaning behind it and a message. And as you view these charms, as you kind of gaze upon the tree, it's to remind you to be flexible and adaptable with the challenges that life puts in front of you. The butterfly is all about transformation. It's all about letting go, changing, and rising above. And each one of these 13 charms has a very significant message. It's a wonderful gift to you to be able to wear. I actually have them in 18 different colors. I actually have one so it can match everything that I'm going to wear in the colors. But what I do is it's one of the first things that I personally put on in the morning and wear, because what it does is it reminds me to see my life through the eyes of the soul. And when I do, I never feel alone. I remember that I'm deeply loved by the universe, And then also it lets me know that I am connected to a tremendous resource of information that I have inside if I just remember to look at life through the eyes of my soul. So again, these 18 different colors are available on my website for you to check it out. A wonderful gift to yourself and to someone else. And if you would like to actually hear the story behind the creation of the bracelets and why these 13 charms were chosen, then go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the slide on my homepage, Soulful Connection Bracelet. That'll take you to a product description page, and then you can listen to the audio on the creation of the bracelets, learn more about them, and then you will actually be able to see all of the different colors that are available. So please browse the collection. If there's one that seems to speak to you in color, then just click on it. You can get an enlarged view of it, and you can actually order them online. And as an introductory special, we've reduced the price by 30% and also free shipping. So if it's something that you're interested in, please go in and check it out. And know that every dollar from each one of these bracelets is actually going to an organization called feedamerica.org. I believe that if we feed ourselves physically, which Sam's going to help us with, and then we also go in and feed and nourish that soulful part of us, then we can be the healthful and healthy, happy human beings that we're designed to. So you can actually go in and check it out, listen to the story, and I hope that you enjoy the whole process. And then, of course, if you're interested, just purchase them online. Again, I mentioned as I started the show that the interest in this topic was, of course, always looking at, you know, kind of what I need to do and why I keep, you know, continuing to put weight on. And I can look at it from stress. I look at it from a medical intuitive standpoint. And then I keep hearing more and more about gluten, and I start connecting the dots associated with it. And what I really realized is that our digestive tract is probably one of the most underappreciated systems in our entire body. And we actually ignore it. We put food into it. We don't think about it. The body says we're hungry. We eat maybe whatever in front of us. And we just ignore the process, and as long as it doesn't scream back at us, we just continue on the path that we are, reaching out for foods that are simple carbohydrates, give you that instant glucose, or eating foods that really don't match the needs of our body that can create a lot of the allergic reactions that we have. So once this digestive system starts to scream and the discontent becomes loud enough that it grabs our attention, then what we do is many times is then we get into that kind of deer in headlight, as I call it, and we get very confused as to where do we start, what do we do, how long do we do it, what should we give up, and it becomes very, very much of a mental, emotional state. So by the time our gut actually reaches this stage of being uncomfortable, and when I'm talking about digestive tract, I'm talking about the upper digestive tract and the lower digestive tract of the small intestines, which is exactly where we start getting these reactions to gluten. And so when we get that reaction to gluten, and if we were to develop celiac disease, then what we have is we have the inflammation in that small intestine. Now what we have is now we have a gut that really needs to have an intervention that can help it restore itself back to balance, heal itself. And one of the ways to do that that's coming up over and over again is to be able to look at the impact of gluten and how it really does impact us in that physical level. So the minute I heard that, and I had a client not too long ago, I did a reading on, and she was actually experiencing a lot of skin issues and also had mentioned in the reading that she was dealing with some weight issues, and it just, you know, Sam just came up. And it's like, you know, I just really need you to reach out to Samantha Grant to connect with her and to just talk to her to begin with, and then to listen to what she has to say. And I've had the pleasure of staying connected with that client, and I've received tremendous feedback, even to the extent, so Sam, you can hear this as well. She said, Carol, I was doing so well. And then, you know, I got stressed, and I kind of fell off the wagon. And I said, well, you know, that does happen to us. And she said, I did that, and I didn't even think about it. And all of a sudden, my hives came back. I wasn't feeling as healthy. I noticed that my weight was beginning to change again. And she said, I couldn't believe in how a very short time that I was feeling so good being gluten-free and then just fell off not even thinking about it and how it made me feel just back to where I was. And she said, I just couldn't believe it. And she said, I kept hearing Sam in the back of my head, just be mindful of doing this on a daily basis. And so there you go, Sam. Now, let me tell you a little bit about her besides all of the hoopla that I've been doing is that she's literally in her career as a certified nutritionist and a weight loss metabolism expert. She's really helped thousands of people on their path to wellness, up to wellness. Sorry, Sam, that was a Freudian slip there. All right, retake. Actually, that may be, honey, we might want to talk about how that makes us feel. So maybe it wasn't so Freudian. Anyway, what she does is she actually looks at correcting a lot of the irregularities in the gut itself and then also in the metabolism irregularities and really reaching out and helping people in a holistic fashion. She really is both traditional medicine and looking at what's available. She's also very alternative in what she looks at. She's actually been featured this season. She's featured on the Doctor's TV show. She's also been working with Chaz Bono, helping Chaz be able to stabilize not only from diet, and had Chaz on a gluten-free diet, as I understand, working with another doctor that's working with some hormones. And she's going to tell you more about this, but I'm going to give you a progress report that she gave me. Chaz has lost 70 pounds. And, you know, that body thinks that once it gets this weight on it, it's going to hang on to it for dear life. So by working with it in a cooperative way, such as diet and so forth, and removing gluten in this particular case, it makes a world of difference. So again, you can actually see Sam on the Doctor's TV show. Also, she works with the A-list of celebrities, heads of state, VPs in numerous industries, and everything in between, such as myself, that is going to hang on her every word. And so she really, again, looks at this from both holistic and then also looking at it from what allopathic medicine looks at. She is actually the creator of the menu plan and recipes in the book, The Fatigue Solution, Increasing Your Energy in 8 Easy Steps. She's a native of North Carolina, so any of my North Carolina listeners, you can relate to that. And she completed her studies in nutrition at the American University of Complementary Medicine in Los Angeles and is a member of the National Association of Nutrition Professionals. She lives in Los Angeles with her husband. And is he still 8 years old?
He turned 8 in March, yes.
Okay, and an 8-year-old son. So anyway, Sam, I cannot tell you, honey, what a pleasure it is to have you on the show and to help us kind of go through some of this confusion about gluten. I don't know, is this, you know, I think about this and I read the different articles about gluten and, you know, I get on one hand, it's a lot of hype. I hear the stories and with my own clients, the success of it. And I can't figure out why, especially if we're not diagnosed with celiac disease, why are we seeing so much about gluten? What is something changed?
Wow, that's a great question. And you're thank you again for having me on before I launch in. I'm always happy to talk to you. You're such a vibrant spirit, and I love your thirst for knowledge and learning. So let's clear up some of that, because this is a big passion of mine. It started when my son was actually 15 months old and had his first and only ear infection. Took him to my osteopathic medical doctor, and we discovered that possibly he had a gluten sensitivity. And so at that point, I was only giving him sprouted grains, but I did take him off all gluten, and he never had another ear infection. And I'm happy to say, I think out of his whole school career, maybe he's missed 6 days, and he's
wow.
going into third grade. So, and he's very savvy on gluten and self-regulates that really well. So let's talk about the various stages of gluten sensitivity. You mentioned celiac. Celiac is kind of the end of the road. That's when you have had gluten sensitivity or gluten intolerance for many, many, many years, and now it has led to this severe gastrointestinal damage. The old school of thought, so there's an old school and there's a new school, so we're going to talk a little bit about both. The old school is celiac disease is all by itself. Like, you have celiac disease, you can't eat gluten. it kind of puts the cart before the horse is the way I look at it. It's like celiac is the destination. Celiac is the destination, but they look at it as kind of a definitive. You have it, you got it, you genetically inherited it, so you can't digest gluten, which is actually, when we talk about gluten, we're talking about the protein in grains. All grains have gluten, and I'll circle back on that in a minute and explain what I mean. So, but now the new school is showing us that you can have gluten sensitivity or gluten intolerance, meaning that your body does not digest that protein well. And over years, if you continue eating that and ignoring some of the symptoms like, you know, obviously abdominal pain and bloating within 30 minutes of eating something with gluten, migraine headaches, huge, huge symptom of gluten intolerance. Weight gain, weight loss, anemia, another big one that shows up, B12 deficiency. Joint pain and arthritis, big connection with a gluten sensitivity. So if we continue to have these symptoms and we don't look at gluten and we look at other things like, you know, we'll give you an anti-inflammatory for your joints and here's a migraine medication for your migraine, and we ignore that maybe gluten is playing a part in this, over time, it damages our intestinal tract so severely that we develop celiac disease. So that's kind of where we started and now where we're at. And nutrition is still a relatively new science, so we're learning more and more each year. And gluten is really in the spotlight right now, and it could almost be considered a fad to be gluten-free. And I really hate seeing that because I think a lot of times when something becomes a fad, people discredit it and they don't really see the value in it. So I'm happy to clarify the message and why people should look at being gluten-free if they have some of those symptoms that I named earlier. Because a lot of times we just think it's centered on our digestive tract, right? We just think, oh, I ate that and I didn't feel well. And we don't associate these other symptoms as contributing to our intolerance to absorb gluten. And you mentioned that when you were talking about the gastrointestinal lining and how the absorption is impaired. And again, that goes back to having an intolerance and simply means we don't digest it well. So then it stays in our digestive tract. Bacteria starts to develop. These byproducts from that bacteria overgrowth start to create damage to the intestine.
You know, that kind of brought a question up in my mind is, are the foods that we're eating, either in the processing, the way that they are, the, you know, these kind of convenience foods, is our body being inundated with more things that contain gluten to the point where, you know, because you mentioned that celiac disease, as we understand it, tends to have a genetic predisposition. Mm-hmm. That isn't really the only case, but that's the way it's always been thought. And so when someone tests out and they don't have celiac disease, and yet they have that sensitivity or that intolerance, is this because we're just being inundated, our body's being inundated with it, where we may not even be mindful? I was thinking of something, excuse me, I kind of answered the question in some way, but
yeah,
I was something the other day, hon, I was noticing that when I was using chicken broth, because I was in a hurry and I didn't make it, you know, trying to be very mindful of that. And I was making it. And when I dumped it in to the soup that I was making, I looked on the box and I will be darned, it had gluten in it.
Right. Right. So
and I wasn't even aware of that.
Exactly. And you brought up a really good point. Is it because we are being inundated and wheat and gluten products are in just about every single packaged product, like your chicken broth?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. The other part of it is in the 50s, we actually started modifying the wheat plant. So the the wheat that we're eating right now is not the ancient grain. It has been manipulated to grow fat because there was the scare of food shortage back during that time around the 60s and the 70s and with the wars. And there was a lot of, you know, margarine came along in the 50s because of that. So it was modified. So it is not the ancient grain. So it has more gluten protein in it than the ancient grain wheat. So we are being inundated, as you said, with more and more of gluten products, and it's a different kind of gluten. So we are seeing a prevalence of more gluten intolerance and gluten sensitivity. And you brought up a good point about celiac. And the way that it was typically diagnosed and still is by many doctors is through an intestinal biopsy, which is not the gold standard for testing for celiac or gluten sensitivity. Because if you think about how large your digestive tract is, and if right, and they're taking one sample, it's kind of like dipping a bucket in the ocean, and when you pull it up, if there's no fish in the ocean, then you assume, hey, there's no fish in the ocean because there wasn't any in this bucket. Same thing with celiac. If they just do a biopsy of a small area, they may not pick the area. How do they pick the area that has the tissue damage? It's
exactly.
Like roulette. Yeah. By the time, you know, I know someone who had like 9 biopsies and it kept showing negative. And finally, on the 10th biopsy, lo and behold, it showed the damage. Meanwhile, 10, 15 years have passed. She continued to eat gluten because she got the green light. Hey, I don't have celiac. My biopsy was negative, yet continued to suffer all these debilitating symptoms. Fibromyalgia is a really common one linked to that. So that's the old way. The new way is looking at more antibodies to see if you have an antibody to gluten or gliadin, and that can be done through a blood test, a stool test, or a saliva test. And people can contact me more if they want to know more about that. There's several labs that I use in my practice and labs that I can refer people to. But it's important to get multiple tests. There's not one test that's going to show you everything.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, I just want to circle back to gluten is in all grains, because that's the thing. It's in corn. It's in rice. It's just gluten is in a higher percentage in wheat. So I see this happen in my clients that have a gluten intolerance, and they cut out barley, rye, wheat, and spelt because they are the higher gluten foods. And you always just want to add this, look for gluten-free oats. Because oats tend to pick up wheat and gluten in the processing. So you want to make sure you're getting gluten-free oats. But still, there's a certain amount of gluten in rice, corn, and oats, in grains that we typically think are gluten-free. So I find that once people transition to a gluten-free, and I'm putting that in air quotes, diet, and they still aren't getting better, then we kind of have to take it another step further and eliminate all grains to get total healing. And I don't think it has to be forever. And a lot of clients that I've worked with, once we're able to heal the gut and heal the lining that has been compromised by something we call leaky gut, where those damaged bacteria and proteins create damage to the gut, eventually they can go back to having, you know, grains in a limited amount. But a lot of times I feel it's not enough just to go gluten-free. We actually have to take it a step further to grain-free. And, of course, it's all in transition, and not everyone has to do that. That's why I really encourage people, if they think they have a gluten intolerance, to work one-on-one with someone like myself who can walk them through the process and, you know, save them some unnecessary trouble. As you mentioned earlier, wellness, because sometimes it does feel like that, because you
it
know,
does, honey.
Yeah, right? Because the question you get is, well, what can I eat?
Exactly.
Right? What are you talking about? I can't live without that. And I always like to remind people that all fruits and vegetables are gluten-free.
That is a very, very good point. So, well, what I want to do is, we know that allergies is just one of the expressions that come from, you know, either gluten sensitivity or gluten intolerance. So we've got Leah on line one. Hi, honey. Sam and I'd love to take your call.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Carol. It's Leah.
Well, hi, sweetie. Nice to hear your voice. How can we help you?
Well, I've been listening, and I'm very fascinated with all this because I went to a naturopath about something else, and he told me I was allergic to wheat, and he told me that wheat allergies were based on mom. It was based on a mom's dysfunctional relationship with mom. And since I had a crazy mom, I believed him. But I guess that's not true. And I have another question as well. So listen to you. I guess that's not true.
Yes and no. So I'm going to jump in real quick, Sam.
Yes, yeah.
A lot of the psychological emotions that we have around relationships with people in our lives, we actually hold the emotional charge of those in the second chakra, that human emotion chakra, which is specifically small intestine. It has a part of the pancreas, which is part of the dynamics of the glucose and the digestive process, and then the small intestine. So by having being said it had to do with a crazy mom, it may be that the way that it was interpreted energetically with the emotions that are held energetically in that area, that it was created kind of this psychological inflammation. Now when you add foods to your body that you're having a literally a physical reaction, such as gluten, where you're having this maybe allergic reaction to it or an inflammatory thing, then that's how the two can be tied. So, Sam, you want to jump in real quick on what you want to add as far as these connections or working with gluten?
No, I mean, I think that was perfect. Like I said earlier, there's really not one test, as I feel like there's not one cause for any type of issue. It's usually multifaceted. There's the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual piece of it. So I totally agree with what you said, Carol, and I can relate to that. Not, I should be careful in case my mom's listening. Not that I can relate to that, that I have a crazy mom, but that I can relate to, sorry mom, I can relate to it being, more than just one issue. It's never just one thing.
Well, let's go back and kind of even neutralize that more. The minute we hit puberty as females, everybody's crazy, and especially our mother. And then as we get older, like you and I are, I'm a lot older than you are, sweetie, so we're just going to do the pecking order. But the reality of it is we start recognizing, oh my gosh, I'm becoming my mother. And then we start dealing with a lot of the release work. But one of the things, honey, that, you know, and knowing you, is that we have those emotions. We have that inflammation, that kind of that deep emotional hurt. We do that release work the way that we need to. We tend to go into protection. That can be a lot of weight gain. Those are the psychological parts. But, you know, we can do the psychological, like Sam said, but we've really got to look at what do we do psychologically when we get into those places we're uncomfortable. We grab foods that give us that instant simple carbohydrate or whatever we need. And one of the things that I've found, and Sam, you could please jump in, is that foods that tend to be those good comfort foods that give us that instant feeling like, okay, everything's fine and the craving goes away, they can be very high in gluten.
Yes, because we're looking to elevate our serotonin, our feel-good hormone, our feel-good neurotransmitter. And the foods that do that are typically those comfort foods. And when we think of comfort foods, usually we go back to childhood and we think about cereals and muffins and cakes and all those things that were sometimes given to us in a nurturing way, but that bring us comfort. When we think of, at least my mom used to, you know, bake, now she bakes gluten-free cakes, but she used to bake, you know, cake, or I, you know, have a bowl of cereal, like that was comfort. And those are most, I would say 99% of the time contain gluten. Yeah, so you're right on that, Carol.
So they really are both of the things. Are you working on becoming gluten-free, Leah?
Yeah, I am.
Good. Good. You know, and it feels, you actually feel lighter, honey. Do you feel better? Do you have more energy or something?
Yes, I'm working on it. I don't, you know, I have my off days, but generally I am trying to stay away from gluten.
Good, good. Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the things that I found with working with people that have a gluten sensitivity or gluten intolerance, is it's one of the things that you can really monitor very quickly, from the standpoint that if you get off of it, you don't have to wait 3 months, 6 months before you have the feedback, whoa, something's working. That's a nice thing with gluten. It just, you know, if it's not what your body wants, your body goes, woohoo. Is that's true, isn't it, Sam?
That is very true. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a quick payoff. and I find that it's really good in the beginning to be very strict for the first 3 weeks because you want to stop producing those that antibody antigen reaction whenever you have gluten. So if you can be clean for 3 weeks, you really see the benefit. And then what I find very interesting is sometimes we forget how sick we were when we're mm-hmm. feeling good, right? We forget how bad it was, and then I find that people will have wheat again, and then they'll feel terrible, and they'll forget that that's how they used to always feel.
Yeah, very, yeah. very much so. Well, nice hearing your voice and touching your energy, sweetie, and, you know, on the right track. I know all the work that you're doing on so many different levels. So, you know, thank you for that. And Sam really triggered some things that we're going to do in the next segment. So please stay tuned. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about this gluten, you know, and it isn't hype. We're beginning to really learn that. And then also who needs to be gluten-free. And then, Sam, I'm going to have you share some of the foods that we can eat. So thanks, Leah. You have a great day, sweetie. All right, I'll be right back in the commercial break, so stay tuned.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Well, welcome back, and if you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is gluten-free hyper health, and joining me to discuss this topic is Samantha Grant, a certified nutritionist and weight loss metabolism expert. She is the creator of the menu plan and recipes for the book The Fatigue Solution, Increase Your Energy in 8 Easy Steps. She's a wealth of information. She's actually featured this season. She's been on The Doctors before, but when I saw this, she's featured on the season of The Doctors TV show, and she works with a lot of celebrities, and Chaz Bono is one, is who she's working with right now, as well as many, many clients. So I'm going to have her talk about that a little bit more. Sam and I are taking your calls, so if you have a question for us about gluten and being gluten-free and your health, or as you saw, if you were on the last segment, you saw that we really can connect the dots in a lot of ways, but it's really, you know, just giving your body what it needs when it needs. So Sam and I are going to take your calls. You can call us at 877-230-3062. That number is good for the U.S. and then also international callers. So, Sam, before we jump in a little bit more, because I want to go in and I want to talk about, you know, how do we know whether we should be gluten-free or not? And you brought up an excellent point when we were in the pause in the commercial break, is that, you know, we go to these gluten-free foods. It's almost like we're just, you know, we're kind of in that fear-based mode where we're going into these gluten-free foods and, oh my gosh, they're loaded with everything else. So I want to talk about good foods and everything. But first of all, tell people, my listeners, how can they get in touch with you, learn more about you? Tell us about things that you have coming up. You've got a doctor's show that's going to be previewing. So why don't you just fill us in on all of it?
Sure. Well, my website is a great place for information. That's where I keep my blog and recipes and all the different programs that I offer at samfgrant.com. That middle initial is F as in Fisher. And also, I'm very active on my Facebook page, Samantha F. Grant Certified Nutritionist. I post daily all sorts of helpful information about nutrition and health and weight loss and recipes and pictures of my food and funny stories. So those are the two best ways to get in touch with me. I have been working with Chaz Bono since last year. We've been on The Doctors a few times. And he has been on a mission to lose weight. He'd gained quite a bit of weight after his stint on Dancing with the Stars. So I've been working with him on a gluten-free meal plan, and he's dropped 70 pounds. But I think what's interesting, people think about weight, but other markers improve because gluten was inflammatory for him. Not only did he lose weight, his cholesterol dropped 160 points. It dropped. I mean,
wow.
It was amazing. It was at 290, got down to 133. His blood pressure on medication, his blood pressure was 140 over 100. Now it's 120 over 80 with no meds.
Oh, my gosh.
Another important marker, because a lot of times people don't make that connection, and you'd mentioned gluten-free and gluten-free foods, is his hemoglobin A1C, which is a three-month average of your blood sugar, which can tell you if you're at a risk for diabetes, was at a 5.9, and that is considered diabetic by medical lab testing, is now at 5.0. So he's completely out of danger of becoming a diabetic. So I think that's the thing with gluten-free foods. So one point I want to urge your listeners is to not jump on the gluten-free food bandwagon, because most of the gluten-free foods are more processed than the gluten foods. They've been highly refined. They use a lot of sugar. Sometimes they're using damaged fats and oils in there to replace the gluten, because gluten gives bread that nice texture and chewiness. And so they have to fill it, these gluten-free products, full of other products that give that same kind of feel. So I would recommend that people just look more at whole foods, right? They look more at vegetables, because all vegetables are gluten-free, all fruits are gluten-free. We look at good, healthy fats. We know that fats are really important. In fact, Chaz's diet, we don't monitor his fats at all, meaning he's not on a low-fat diet, because we know fats are so important for our hormones, our skin, our energy. So, you know, avocados, coconut oil, nuts and seeds, fresh fruit and vegetables, clean meat, you know, grass-fed meats and organic chicken and organic eggs. That's really what the foundation of your diet should be. And then, you know, if you want to have a gluten-free cupcake every once in a while, or some gluten-free bread, or, and there's so many great recipes, like if you look on my Facebook page or on my website, I have so many great grain-free, not just gluten-free, but grain-free recipes. Like I have a strawberry shortcake on there, it's strawberry season, great time to make those, that's made from coconut flour. So you can still have those gluten-free sometime foods, but I really don't want people to switch out their whole wheat sandwich at lunch for a gluten-free sandwich at lunch. I'd much rather them see, you know, have a salad for lunch or some vegetables and protein and fats, you know, at lunch. So that's the other message, is to not get so caught up, because marketers and food manufacturers are very smart. And when they see something becoming, you know, a top story in the media, they jump on every chance to make money from it. So we just want to make sure that we aren't compromising our health, and that we're still eating a really whole food diet and just having those gluten-free treats as sometimes foods.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead, because we do have another caller. Pat from Connecticut, line two. Hi, sweetie. Hi, Pat. Are you there? All right. All right. Sam, are you?
Yes.
Oh, okay, perfect, perfect. So, Pat, hang on, sweet. We're going to get there with you. But what I'm going to do is, here we go. Are you there, Pat? Hi, sweet.
Hey.
Oh, hey, honey. Oh, woo-hoo. We just had to really kind of, you know, put that energy out there. Hi, how can I help you, honey?
Hi.
You know, I told Cameron I was going to ask about health this time, but I really think I need to still focus on the EMDR process. Can you hear
me? I can.
Okay. My first question is, can you see a reason why I absolutely refuse to use my imagination to find a safe place?
Well, first of all, I can tell you is that the history that you have around using your imagination and the restriction around it that happened, oh my gosh, I can go back to 3 and 4 years old, is that it's a very fearful place for you. And over the course of time, it feels to me like you don't even know how to identify or define imagination. So when you're working with a therapist, why don't you go in and define imagination? What does it look like? What image does it have? Does it have a color with it? Does it have a sound with it? How can it be of benefit to you? And does it expand the perceptions? Is it fun? Is it light? Is it serious? Is it things? And just see if you can work and shift the perception around imagination. But it feels to me, honey, like you were chastised for using your imagination, and I don't know why it comes in, is it's kind of like that if you did that, then you're not grounded. And that's part of what I think the EMDR is doing, is helping ground you and see things different. So it isn't that it isn't there. It's just the perception around it has a lot of emotional charge and fear and being wrong. I keep getting this being wrong, and I keep hearing this mantra about it over and over again. So why don't you kind of go back to the fundamentals and see if we can create a brand new perception of imagination instead of having to see it through the lens of our conditioning. And then what it'll do is it'll allow you to develop a new picture, create in this new wonderful science of neuroplasticity, to be able to create new neural highways around those old patterns of thinking, and then you'll start using it and recognize it in subtle ways. For example, it feels to me like just a couple of days you started recognizing patterns again. I don't know if you were outside or walking around, but you started noticing patterns. Patterns are a very integral part of imagination. We can call those patterns synchronicity. Did you happen to notice a consistency or something, sweetie, that you just noticed that you saw it more often than norm?
Well, yeah, all the bad stuff I'm discovering about myself, the bad habits, I'm continually seeing more stuff. I can't think, honestly, of anything positive
okay.
yet.
Well, again, my job isn't to put words in your mouth or thoughts in your head, but if you can go back a couple of days ago, it feels like the weather was good, it feels like you were outside, it feels like you looked at something you look at all the time, but it looked different. That's what it feels like. Those are the subtle things that our conditioning and the fear we have from our past doesn't let us recognize the subtle. If you can recognize the subtle and focus your attention on those little subtle things, then you're going to start noticing a difference in how you're healing. You'll actually recognize healing. I can kind of tie it into the show today. Like Sam said, if you're on a, you know, go on a gluten-free diet for 3 weeks, and then you're going to notice that you feel better, but you probably won't notice you're feeling better. You'll notice I'm not feeling as bad.
Yeah.
And then you go and go, oh, well, I'm feeling better. So it is working, sweetie, but I think we just need to redefine it, create new images around it, images that are safe. The EMDR can help you with that. And then let your therapist walk you through that process looking for the subtle. That'll help you tremendously.
Okay.
Good.
Can I ask more?
Well, I'd love to, sweet, but you know what? I hate to do this. I've got my lines are full, and I want to get. Oh, I love you. You have a great day, Sugar. Okay, bye bye. Okay, so let's jump in and let's take Kelly from Arkansas, line one. Hi, hon.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, good.
Hey, I apologize. I'm calling in. It has nothing to do with gluten free, but it has everything to do with food allergy. So I thought, even if I need to call back and talk with you privately, I can do that. I have a red meat intolerance, and I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know why I have it.
Why do you think that you have it? Were you you have symptoms, or you were diagnosed?
Oh yes. In fact, about 20 years ago, I had an episode. I didn't realize it was anything to do with, you know, eating hamburgers at the time. And then several years later, I had another episode, and you pass these things off, like maybe it was the the off spray I used, or, you know, the laundry detergent. And about a year and a half ago, it reared its head like nobody's business. And I literally cannot, within 2.5 to 3 hours, if I've eaten, you know, grass-fed goat meat or organic pork or a steak from the local grocery market or a beautiful steakhouse, I will break out in severe hives. I'm talking itching everywhere, and the longer it goes on, our doctor has recently just put me on an EpiPen. He said, Kelly, it is so bad, you cannot even eat the meat that was grilled on the same grill that was, like, if you're going to grill a chicken breast, you cannot grill it where the steak was.
Well, yeah, so definitely, and I know Carol has some insight on this too, but I'll just briefly jump in and say, you're, obviously your immune system is overactive, so it's perceiving the red meat protein as an invader, right? As a life or death, like we have to get this out or it's going to kill us. And so one thing that I would suggest is that you definitely do some immune, gut immune building products. And there's a lot of them on the market. There's one that I like that's on my website called GI Revive. Because I feel like your gut lining needs some support. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to cure you and you'll be able to eat red meat. Again, it sounds like you have an IgE reaction, which is that immediate, within 30 minutes, you're having a reaction. And sometimes those can be addressed effectively, and sometimes they can't. Sometimes you will need to avoid that food, unfortunately, for a lifetime. But it can never hurt to do some gut restorative work. Probiotics help do that. Kefir, kombucha, fermented food products like sauerkraut, all of those help build the integrity of our gut. Most of our immune system is located in our gut lining. So I feel like digestive enzymes would be another benefit. Sometimes when people have reactions to red meat, they just cannot break it down because they're deficient in hydrochloric acid. So there's a, I think your emphasis should be on definitely rebuilding your gut and supporting your gut. And eventually you may be able to have red meat like once or twice a month, but it's a process. But it, you know, I would strongly
suggest.
Who
do you recommend to seek out an allergist or?
Me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously, sweetie. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously, Kelly, she can, because one of the things with Sam that I know when I met her immediately, I could sense this and see her aura as well. But one of the things is that while Sam will work with you at that physical level to restore your gut, you can tell where she is from the positive standpoint and also being very adaptable. Sam isn't one of a nutritionist that is very hard line. She's willing to try things. So I really would suggest that as well. The other thing is, sweetie, is that the problem is in the third chakra. It literally is in the stomach. So if you go in and, like Sam said, you rebuild your gut and you help the stomach and the hydrochloric acid and the other things working with her, that third chakra is your personal power. And if you go back and you look at maybe where you were at the time these anomalies started showing up in the diet and everything, you may find that maybe you weren't feeling yourself, or maybe you weren't, and it doesn't mean you were reaching for food for the comfort, but you just were in a place where there was some inner irritation, it feels like to me. And that can, as much, you know, it may not trigger the process, it's a part of it, but it could also be part of the dynamics of why that continues to stay there and why it continues to worsen, not only physically but psychologically. But I really would, I would honestly suggest that you work with Sam on this, because she'll get to the root of it and then she'll restore that gut.
Okay, and I can get in touch with you, Sam, through Ms. Wright's website?
Through my website, samfgrant.com, through my Facebook page, Samantha F. Grant, Certified Nutritionist on Facebook. Yeah, you can send me a private message and we can connect. Also, when you go on my website, I just want to make sure people sign up for my newsletter, because I do send out a quarterly newsletter full of all kinds of important information and recipes, and I review a lot of what's current, you know, what's being talked about. Newsletters are a great way to get up-to-date information, too.
Okay. Well, Ms. Grant, yeah. We will talk soon then.
Great. I look forward
to
it.
Thank you both so much.
Very, very good. And another thing is that, you know, putting in the effort to keep a blog going is a lot of effort. And so the fact that Sam does it on a daily basis and really comes up with a lot of information, it's a wonderful way for you to also be in tune with what's going on, because that's one other thing with Sam. She's very in tune from a nutritionist standpoint, all the things that are going on. And, you know, kind of like we talked about the gluten-free fat and stuff. So the blog is a wonderful way to connect as well. With this, Sam, you talked just very briefly about, you know, we know fruits and vegetables. And, you know, when you said that, sweetie, and you talked about fruits, I have this old mantra that came in that I'm sure I'm not the only one, that, you know, if we eat too many fruits, and we get too much sugar, even though it's natural sugar, oh my gosh, is that going to increase our propensity for diabetes? And so I think it's not that that may be the case, but I think what it is what you said. I think we're just bombarded with not knowing what to do, where to go, should we start here? If we do that, are we going to be compounding that? I think we're just overloaded, aren't we?
We are, and you can read one doctor's diet book and get some great information, and read another doctor's diet book and completely contradict what the other doctor said. So that's why I love my work and working with individuals, because I do, not that I call myself an intuitive, but I do have this innate sense of where we need to work when I work with someone. When I go through their history and I sit with them and I listen to them and I look at what they're doing now, what's going on in their life, I'm a detective. I like put all the pieces together and formulate a plan that works for that individual, because it is so overwhelming. There is so much information, and so much is it conflicting. And the thing about fruit, can you overdo fruit? Absolutely. If you're eating fruit for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and nothing else, then yes, that is a problem. But more so, it's a problem when we're eating fruit on top of eating other refined carbohydrates like breads and pastas and rice and potatoes, and not getting enough of that good high-quality protein and good healthy fat.
Absolutely. So I think there is a balance, and I think that that common sense, and I think, you know, find a go-to person that you feel good about, that you trust, and so forth. And then what you do is then you kind of work with that. I mean, it's a cooperative event and an effort, and you work with that person. And then when you have that confusion, then you can gather the information the way that it's needed to be able to prevent it. So very exciting. So you've got your blog, you've got your newsletter, you've got your website. Now, all of you, for no matter where you are, you just heard that even from Arkansas, Sam can work with you. So you really aren't bound by, it sounds like, having to come into the office on a regular basis.
And I work with the majority of people by phone, and people that I've never met in person that I'd love to meet in person. But, yeah, a lot of people on the East Coast and in the South.
Absolutely. So kind of looking at this with this gluten part of it, is that where would you just, and I know it's a little dangerous to do this to you, sweetie, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if I, Carol, were going to start at one place and looking at gluten, where would you say, Carol, start there?
Well, it's great that you mentioned that, because I just posted it on my Facebook page, so people can take this really easy gluten sensitivity quiz. It's a very easy take. It's three minutes or less to do it, and it's a gluten sensitivity and tolerance self-test, and it will give you a grade. And if you test high and you think you have a gluten intolerance, you know, send me a message. Reach out to me, and I can help guide you. One thing I would suggest, though, is, you know, to really look at Whole Foods and Just Eat Real Food. Weston A. Price organization is one of my favorites. Sally Fallon and Mary Ng. Any of the paleo bloggers I really like. Balanced Bites is a great one. Mark Sisson is another one. There's just so many choices now that it used to sound like a death sentence when someone said, you have to be gluten-free. But I mean, I bake all of my baked goods with coconut flour and almond flour, and it's delicious. I mean, people love the stuff that I make, and I don't even tell them it's gluten-free because I don't want them to have that, you know, prejudice toward it until they actually taste it.
Well, you know, and I think that because we're running out of time, I think that's a great way to end the show is that, you know, you can get back into the kitchen. You can start baking. There's things that you can do. And what I heard from you, Sam, is that really if we think we're gluten intolerant or insensitive, we don't have to give up anything. Just go back to eating healthy. Thank you for joining me today. It is absolutely wonderful. Please, everybody, go and check out the website. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you next week on the radio show. Light and love to all of you.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.rideberger.com. See you soon.